post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio, Nick Cumston. How are you, Nick?
Morning, Eamon. How are you?
No, it's not the morning, but you never know. Could be somewhere. And alongside Nick is Peter Fennell. Peter, welcome.
G'day, mate. I'm on fire.
On fire. Off the bench and on fire.
Off the bench. I need to remind you. Off the bench.
Off the bench. Well, we're going to see how you're going to perform off the bench in just a few moments. Now, you can contact us on the email flanagan.eamon@gmail.com. Podcast is on the blog, as always, nearpost.blogspot.com. And you should vote for that blog as the best blog in Australia. Or Peter's Near Post Local. Actually, I think I should vote for Near Post Local. There's a great initiative by football fans down under, players of the year. Get on the website, football fan down under, player of the year, coach of the year, blog of the year, journo of the year, you name it, we've got it. So I'm voting for Peter Fennell for the best local blog of the year ever.
I'll vote for you too.
Oh, thanks, Peter. I don't need a vote.
You can feel the love.
And on the you can catch it on iTunes on halftimeheroes.com.au, and we're streamed live from the studios at 2xxfm.org.au. We dedicate the show every week, and I suppose normally it's a football dedication, but I think this week, with the things happening to our Asian neighbours, we just dedicate the show to the Japanese public. Absolutely unbelievable scenes, and we wish them and all our Japanese friends all the best. I don't think we can say much more than that on this show. Now, the quiz question, moving along to a big football week that we had, a fantastic game on the weekend. We're going to talk about that. We're ecstatic about the game. We loved it to bits. But the quiz question, Peter Fennell's trying to pull out early saying he's just off the bench, but we're not falling for that. Name how many A-League finals Norwich have played in. Name how many A-League finals Norwich have played in.
Three.
Nick Cumston, take a bow, mate. What am I talking about? Peter Fennell's looking at me like he's looking at me like I'm an idiot. And Peter, you're both right. I am an idiot. You're right, mate. Okay.
Michael Theotis.
Michael Theotis.
He had the 7-1 debut for Norwich a couple of years ago.
He played one game and one game only, 7-1, and he was never seen in the flatlands of Norwich again.
And he was awesome on Sunday.
And he's won three titles, two with the Melbourne Victory and now one with the Brisbane Roar. So
there wouldn't be too many done that.
No. Well,
no.
Obviously, a few Melbourne.
No teams won three.
No, anybody moved from Melbourne to Sydney? What about Pondoyak? No, they didn't win. Central Coast didn't win, did they?
No,
and Newcastle, although Newcastle won, all their players went to Sydney and they might have got another win. Yeah. Yeah, Misalik and Bridge would have got a win last year, wouldn't they? So they might have got two medals, one of them. But he's probably the only one that's got three that we know of.
Yeah, he's doing well.
And we would certainly know.
on the show last week, I confidently said Gljkovic was better too.
Well, he may well be better. He just hasn't won a title yet.
No, true, but Theokritos was fantastic. He intimidated those Central Coast players last weekend.
He did have the help of 50,000 people and two goals and a bit of excitement at the very end of the game, but still did well.
And the threat of sudden death if they failed,
That's right. Now we're going to talk about that in a minute. So the news this week and the best finish to an Australian sporting event ever. The Roar beat the Mariners on penalties to win the grand final. If you didn't know that, you must have been watching, I don't know, Sri Lanka versus Ireland in the cricket. Brenton Speed delivers a golden shot, a fantastic call on Fox Sports News just as the game ended. I switched over to Fox Sports News and they were presenting the trophies, but Brenton did about a 5 or 10 minute piece. It was phenomenal. It was one of the most interesting and exciting and passionate deliveries of grand final or a sporting event. It was brilliant. It had history. It had the lot. It was just a great moment. And I'm not always over enamoured with our commentators, but I thought that was absolutely fantastic. So hats off to you, Brenton.
Yep, I got a good laugh out of Andy Harper's "Who'll get to lift up the toilet seat?" on Sunday.
Mustafa Emini off to trial with Bayern Munich and or Newcastle United, according to Who You Believe, although Arnie said to be reluctant to let the lad go. Ben Buckley says some crowds are up, as in the Jets, Adelaide and Brisbane, but the prices of tickets will fall next year and games will start late September. Good move, apparently. All the fans want it, all the clubs want it, but still very worried. The Near Post very worried about the young players not getting enough games. Sydney's game in the ACL, Asian Champions League, is cancelled due to the Japanese earthquake, tsunami and nuclear fallout. Melbourne Victory, can they redeem themselves after the shocking opener against Gambara Osaka? They take on tonight Jeju United with Mehmet Djurakovic, the man with the sexiest near-post radio voice ever at the helm. He did an interview a couple of years ago, and he has got a radio voice to die for. So a new Aussie coach on the way, perhaps. Ernie Merrick's got the boot, and we'll be having a little bit of a chat about that soon. Near-post favourite Asian football chief Mohammed bin Hamman is to run for the FIFA job. Good luck to them both. And Socceroo called up for Nikita Rukavica. He took his season assist tally to 10 for Hertha Berlin. He's the second highest assist person in the Bundesliga Div 2. And Luke Devere put in a full shift as Jinong Nam FC won 1-0. Ian Fife scored for Busan. Shane Lowry, James Holland and Rhys Williams all got four games at their clubs. And we'll talk about the Socceroos squad in just a moment. But Peter, open it up with the grand final, the greatest game ever. What were your overriding thoughts, did you?
Oh, outstanding game. I mean, but the best part of it was...
There's only one.
I'll tell you what, for me, that game was in three parts. The normal 90 minutes of time, the 60 minutes of the extra time, and the third part, which is the shootout, which I don't count as football anyway. The football's over when you get to that. That's all theatre. It's a way of resolving it, I understand. But 120 minutes of football, that's just real football time.
Yeah, fantastic.
Just fantastic. Yeah. And this thing went right to the wire and displayed precisely what both teams had been about all season.
Nick,
they played true to themselves.
Both teams really wanted to win. I liked that. Yeah. There wasn't any cynical time wasting. They attacked all game. It was a fantastic advertisement.
And the Mariners, I mean, there were times in the game where you thought the Roar, I don't know what the stats were, but I reckon the Roar must have had 80% of the game in 90 minutes, you know, because they didn't create that many clear chances. The Mariners set up themselves up well, but I reckon they had...
Roar was slightly ahead in the possession count. But
I think so.
Central Coast were always dangerous.
Yeah, they were. They had, you know, and they have been all season against, apart from the 5-1 game against the Roar. But what was the turning point was interesting because obviously the Mariners got that first goal in extra time. And then they took off... Brisbane Roar, brought on a forward, and I think Rocky Visconti, came on and took off a defender, and instantly they exploited that spot down the left. Krosnick ran away, and of course that created a second goal. So nice tactical move, an obvious tactical move, perhaps by Postecoglou to go for it to get the equaliser. But of course, punished straight away, and at 2-0, you thought that was it, didn't you, Pete?
Look, yeah, absolutely. I confess, I thought they were dead in the water after 2-0 in the first half of extra time. But I reckon there are three turning points in that game.
Oh, three turning points, come on.
Yeah, major turn. I thought the first one came at about the 17-minute mark. Central Coast Mariners were pushing like fury in that first 16 minutes.
They certainly were, yeah.
And they had unsettled Roar.
I thought they were pressing higher than the park than they had been.
Yeah, they had, and I mean, that's saying a lot for that turn because they never contest the ball well up in the their attacking third. And then the Roar got control of the ball again. Their passing sequences got slightly longer. They started to get to 4 to 5 passes.
Yeah.
They got much more of the possession, and then the game started to be productive for them. That went all the way through. Roar, for me, just got stronger in terms of possession and enforcing their style of play until you got to the start of extra time. And I thought at that point, I thought Roar clocked off for a second or two.
Yeah, they did. I guess you run out of, you know, energy and pace even at that level.
And it's nil all, and they've had made countless movements.
Bernie Abeni was a big introduction off the bench for Central Coast.
He was a fantastic addition.
I thought it was a pretty lifeless effort for Matt Simon, who's had a fantastic season.
He's had a few injuries in the last few weeks, in fairness.
And I don't think he was 100%.
No. What about that goal? He should have scored that lovely square ball, and he did a fairyland kick that an under-nines wouldn't have done.
Reminded me of my junior career, that one.
That's what funny. I was watching the game, and I said, that is like Nick Cumston. That is just like him. I was watching the game with a few friends, and we were saying at the 115th minute, we said, you know, it's just the most dangerous lead in football. Arnie would know that more than the most. He's played in the Iran game, I think, and he's there again now, so he will have a debate which is the worst game for him.
I've repressed all memory of it, actually.
It came flooding back to me because I said 115-minute, 140-minute, if the Roar get a goal with 50,000 people, I said the least we'll have is a fantastic finish.
Can I tell you, the second turning point was that start of extra time. And what the Mariners had in them was the ability to keep that one pace going. Mm. They made the changes at the right time, and Raw ran out of gas and direction just for a few minutes. Bang, bang.
Mm. And Bernie, I think he gave them a little bit of an outlet. Yeah. He was fast. He had a bit of pace, and it just lifted the team a bit.
It tilted the balance, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then
I thought Bozanic was... he's really stepped up in the last month.
Yeah, I think he's had a good game since his return to Australia. I've been very impressed with him.
Yeah, good season, but I think it's to another level.
Okay, Pete, you've got your third point.
The third point I put down to an interview that was done with Mackay after the game, all about leadership, the third turning point. He said himself, they got to the end of the first part of extra time. He looked at his team and he said, look, we can do it. We've scored two goals in 15 minutes before, we can do it.
Yep.
They lifted. Great leadership.
Mm. How would you be, though, if you were the Mariners team? I mean, they've done everything right. They possibly could have been 3-0 up at that point. But that last ball, there were like 20 seconds to go, and there was not a defender in sight.
But they'd been vulnerable to those corners all game, I thought. Eric Partlow had almost scored in regular time with one of those big headers. And, for a team that had defended well all season, I thought...
Yeah, well, they've got Van Schaay and Wilkinson in there. You'd think they've got a bit of height. Now, the two goalkeepers, I mean, you looked at it before the penalties, and the game was won, wasn't it? Theokostos was up. He was, aggressive. Mm. He was assertive. He was confident. The other guy, poor old Matt Ryan, as an 18-year-old, he just seemed like, I've given away two goals, and he just seemed to have the weight of the world on his shoulder. You didn't think he was ever going to make a save, and unfortunately, he's been a fantastic keeper all season. And another young Aussie coming through. I mean, it's fantastic to see Mustafa Amini, Matt Ryan, 18 years of age, whatever. Great stuff. 50,000 people. What do you think about that?
Oh, wonderful.
Looked orange stadium, except for a big pile of yellow at one end. It looked fantastic. You can't... I think... If the A-League gets its finances right, you don't have to worry about the game. It's there.
I don't know. I think you still got to worry about the game, because I think the thing is, if it's not on free-to-air, again, how many people saw that game? And if all of the finals the last 6 years have been on there free-to-air with 55,000 in Melbourne and Sydney and that, people would be watching it in bigger numbers than... a lot of people wouldn't have seen that game. And that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, it's a historic game.
Yeah, it is. And it's a damn shame it isn't on free-to-air. But if it did get onto free to air, you wouldn't want it to be treated in the same way as the W League game was treated.
No.
With 120 minutes of football, and they cut down to 60.
No, you certainly
and
wouldn't.
Foxtel, to their credit, do a good job of actively promoting the game.
Yeah, to themselves, like to us, the viewers who have Foxtel. But they do a great job, but it's a small market still, I think, and hard to grow that market when you've only got. A certain number of years. Now, I guess we'll move along to the Socceroos squad for Germany. They've announced our favourite Aussie German has announced 15 players for the squad, but he's also announced we're not cutting back on funds here. He's also announced another probably 20 players who are considered young Socceroos, possibly older, eligible for the old Socceroos and also Oli Roos. So they're building for the future. The usual suspects are in the main squad, like Robbie Cruz, Mitchell Langeret. You like how you say the usual suspects? John McCain, Ogonoski, Rukovic, but of course Carl Valeri, Kuehl, Holman, Emerton, Schwarzer's there, Cahill's there. So, so that's the usual sort of squad. And they'll be playing against Germany next week, I think it is.
Interesting that the usual squad doesn't have Scott McDonald or Josh Kennedy in it.
Josh Kennedy's had a bad back, missed the Asia Cup, and of course he's probably stuck in Japan at the moment anyway. And Scott McDonald, well, I guess if you're looking for the future...
Yeah, papers are stamped, I think.
Do we need Scott? I mean, he can always come and play again. We know what he's made of, and we know what we can use him when we need to, but to have...
In case of emergency.
Yeah, and I think if he's got 15 guys lined up in this squad... he can bring in 5, 6, 7 from the train-on squad. Interesting looking at the train-on squad, because I'll just go down the list and please comment on anybody that you think you'd like to comment on. In the train-on, a surprise for me is Shane Cansdale-Sheriff. He's been around a long, long time at Leeds United and other places. I think he's about 29. So I think that's a strange, unless he's a left-sided defender, left-sided fullback, in which case I guess.
Yeah, what's attracted the Australian coach to him?
Don't know. Very odd to me, because he's not a young fella. Mitchell Langeret, obviously, Medaski, Sorota's in the squad. James Troisi, Zolo Bisanis, Dean Bisanis, the keeper at Liverpool.
So he's still playing football?
Who?
Bisanis.
Well, he must be playing for the reserves anyway. And Aspasalos, Giano and Bassanis have been touted for other countries as well. So that's, and also Sirota's had a little bit of a Polish thing going on. So anyway, they're in with the Aussies this time. James Holland, he's playing at Sparta Rotterdam. And
he's getting a regular game, isn't he?
Yeah, he is in Div 2. Shane Lowry, on loan from Villa, he's getting full-time. And Ryan McGowan playing with Partick Thistle in mighty Scotland. Mm. Also, Aaron Moore, here's a name I hadn't really heard of. Kieran Bacchus at Le Mans in France, he's a midfielder. Ante Drazina, Hertha Berlin. Corey Gamero at Fulham. You got a bit of something about him, Nick?
He's a youngster. I think he's only 17. Apparently the quickest kid in testing down at Fulham. He's small, so he sort of doesn't fit the usual lumbering stereotype of Australian soccer players, but it's good to see some different types of players coming through.
So I guess they're just having a look at him, but must have a big rap if he's got the score. Braden Inman at Newcastle United. Josip Gonyet at Zagreb. George Lambadaridis at Bruges and Matthew Lecky now at Mönchengladbach. Massimo Longo at Tottenham Hotspur and Brent McGrath at Bromby. So a whole heap of players there, and some of you may or may not have heard of. And I don't think it means an awful lot. I mean, I think there's guys like Tommy Orr, obviously, is not there, and there's one or two others not there. But, you know, we were talking off air before about the number of players in Bernie, Ibini, Isi and Mustafa Amini, Matt Ryan, just three from one team. Mm. The number of young players coming through. Peter, you were mentioning the skill level of the younger guys. Mm. And today, Holger Ossett's talked about Mustafa Amini being, you know, absolutely got to keep playing that winning pass. I was hoping he was going to win the grand final. I was hoping he would have a 17-year-old here. He would suddenly grab that ball, take the game by the scruff of the neck and make that pass. Didn't quite do it for him, did it? Didn't really come off.
Not entirely, but look, the changes in terms of the technical abilities of the younger players are now beginning to show through a little bit, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Well, that will only improve as the national curriculum and development plan.
I think probably
take effect. You know?
A double edge, isn't it? I think the soccer is making the World Cup has meant that a lot of those young guys have, around the age of 12, 13, 6 or 7 years ago, have sort of said, yeah, this is fantastic. I love my football, but I'm going to take it to the next level. And then, as you say, Peter, bringing in that technical side on top of it to actually assist them to get there. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more and more. And you see that in the A-League all the time. The number of young players, I reckon the number of young players coming through at the moment who are getting gigs in the A-League under the age of 20 and their performances is higher than we've ever had.
Football's starting to win back some of the battles for the elite juniors that maybe in those mid-2000s where the game was going through a transition period, it wasn't winning those hearts and minds.
Well, if you're looking at Mustafa Amini on the weekend, you know, walking out there in front of 50,000 people, what young Aussie, doesn't matter what sport, whether you're AFL, rugby league, I mean, every AFL young fellow wants to play there. Every guy going around playing soccer thinks, I want to be in that final. I mean, that was just fantastic, wasn't it?
Well, you know, when he walked off and was embraced by his coach, he still looked like he had the rabbit in the headlights look.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
He just did. Yeah. It's extraordinary.
And I mean, really, it is such a phenomenal thing to go into that game as a 17-year-old when, you know, you've been playing in front of 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, which is still a big deal for him, probably. But
And play well.
And play well. Germany, how do you think we're going to go again? 4-0?
Oh, could get a bit ugly.
It could get a bit ugly. Don't stay up for that one. No. Yeah. Yes.
They made better teams than us look ordinary at the last World Cup.
It could be.
This is not one I think we'll win, but.
Well, I don't think we'll be winning, but.
But I'd like to think we could get close. You know, 2-0 against. Got to be a good outcome.
Yeah.
So now I'm just looking down the team and it's not that pretty. But Matt Mackay's in there again, which is good to see. Do you think he'll stay in Australia or we'll leave?
Don't know. He's their marquee player, so he's on reasonable money. But
he's 27, so he's not a young fella. But of course, Asia will be calling, I would think.
For me, this man is the captain of the Socceroos. Looking forward.
Yeah, I mean,
he is Captain Socceroo.
He is, but of course, you're never going to argue with Tim Cahill over that one. I mean, they're going to pull rank and they're going to go, "Hey,
unfortunately,
that's the way it's going to be." But you're right.
He's a small man with large in fortitude.
It's fantastic. Now we're going to move on to talk about, we'll move on with Ange Postecoglou as we segue into the demise of Ernie Merrick. Nick, you've got a bit of news on Ange, the Brisbane Roar coach.
There's a lot of rumours going around about the Victory coaching job. There's talk that they're offering Ange Postecoglou $400,000.
Just in case people didn't know, Ernie Merrick got the sack on the weekend prior to the grand final. Some people are a bit upset about the timing of that, as though it was upstaged the grand final. But no, the more football news, the better.
The 50,000 people didn't care.
Well, he wasn't in the grand final.
I don't know. He might have been. But so Ange's got a $400,000 offer on the table.
And he also has an escape clause in his contract with the Raw, which is very interesting.
Well, I imagine they all do, don't they? I mean, these days, like all the players seem to have it. You know, if somebody comes and offers me $3, I can go. And I guess it's the same for the coaches.
You know, the thing that sways me is Postecoglou's lengthy and deep connections with football in Victoria.
Mm. Yeah.
And I would imagine in the ordinary course of events, he'd find the Melbourne Victory job or the Melbourne Heart job.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely attractive. But now he's got a balance. The fact that he's now the premiership coach and the FFA owns his team.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, because it's a good and bad situation, perhaps, in that it stabilises the Raw for some, but they're not going to have a lot of money. And you'd imagine one or two of those players are going to be.
Poached.
They're going to get poached.
Mm. Absolutely.
Whereas Brisbane, Melbourne, of course, we know Melbourne have a fantastic potential to pull in 25,000 people every week. And if Ange can go in and lay down his plan a la he did in Brisbane. I mean, you'd think that team, because they've got some great players down in Melbourne.
Well, the Melbourne Heart need to rebuild as well, to a certain. I mean, it's funny to say that about a team a year old, but they've lost Skoko, Aloisi, the giant Dutch.
But Van Schip, I mean, I'm happy to see Van Schip stay. I think that would be a bad move to get rid of him. He's done a good job for the first season. And I think bringing in those three older guys might have been a mistake, but
It was good marketing.
Yeah.
And they still brought on some younger players.
I thought they played good football.
Yeah. Attractive football.
I don't think Postecoglou owes Brisbane Roar a thing. Mm. When you consider the job he took over, you know, it was a job that was a coaching job from hell in the A-League.
Yeah, it was.
Really
had
was.
To, had to clean out the stables.
This is an unbelievable result. He owes them nothing. If he turns his cards over and says, well, you know, family's heading back to Melbourne and I'm going to coach down there, I, for one, wouldn't criticise him. He's job done, mission accomplished.
Mm. Two words, Kevin Muscat. What?
Oh, Lord.
Would you walk into Melbourne Victory with Kevin Muscat still there if you were Ange Postecoglou, and or do you think Muscat might be considered for the job too soon? I mean, it's hard to know how Muscat would stay in the fold if Postecoglou came in, because Muscat presumably must be positioning himself, but his name hasn't come up yet.
But what... Is he a coach? Has he coached anything? Why would anyone think that a bloke who's got grey hair playing football would make a real good coach?
Been done before, Pete.
I know it has.
Hasn't it?
I know, and regrettably it has.
Yeah.
But
it's an important appointment for Melbourne. They need to get their appointment, don't they?
Absolutely.
It's crucial.
There's a bit of talk that there's been a transition off-field in their ownership group. The new owners were unhappy with the image under Ernie Merrick, and I think Muscat's a big part of that.
There were Archie Thompson.
That's a very good point.
Archie Thompson came out today and said that they were very stale under. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the image under Muscat has been it hasn't been impressive. And also two things I'd like to mention about the Asian Champions League. I mean, Ernie's come out and said probably in the last 3 or 4 weeks that the A-League is always a priority for him. That's a fair enough comment, but given how the debacle they had last season, when Muscat didn't want to go and travel to Korea and those places, he was too tired and all the rest of it, and they were whinging about it. And then this year they've gone out to Gambler and got absolutely flogged. I mean, it seems to me that they missed an opportunity again, Melbourne.
Well, I reckon if I were advising Postecoglou, ho-ho, and he took on that Melbourne Victory job, I'd be saying, Ange, two words for Kevin, early retirement.
Well, he is retired, so that's okay. He's finished
at the end.
He's not retired from the club, of course. And, of course, that's the sort of power struggle, I think, that be interested in how they'd work together. Of course, he could be an assistant, of course.
That's it. It was interesting, the New Post's sexiest voice in radio, Mehmet Djokovic.
Djokovic.
He came out today and said he wants a faster short passing game against Jeju United tonight.
Well, that is interesting. I don't know whether you'd be able to introduce it in one game, but Mehmet, of course, has come through the VIS, a former Socceroo. I remember watching one of my first games in Australia against Australia versus Canada, and I think Djokovic got up for a superb goal late on. So he's well-trained as a coach. He's been assistant in new team and that sort of thing. So he's probably looking for a job himself, I'm sure, but whether he's ready for it yet,
What is it? Whiteboard out in the dressing room. Lads, I've got this brilliant idea. Today we're going to play like Barcelona.
We're not.
He's read it on your blog, Pete. Yeah.
We're not just going to hoof it long and hope that Archie Thompson beats the offside trap anymore.
No, that was a one-size-fits-all plan, and it never worked in Asia. I mean, they never had any good games in Asia. It was always... I mean, there were some exciting games, but it was always end-to-end stuff.
Tactically naive.
Tactically stupid, I think. Yeah. I mean, really, especially
mine, mine was more polite.
But especially when you see... That's what the near post is all about. Polite, counterbalancing, kind of. But when you see Adelaide, what they did, he had an opportunity to see how Asian Australian teams had, could transform and perform in Asia. Mm. So he's had the model out there. You know, and you thought, I think he's had a few goes himself and he's never produced anything. And the game against Gamba was a disgrace.
But this Asian football gig, after you sort of win entry through the your A-League final position, is a very mixed bag because you don't go into that competition with the team that you had your success with.
No, I mean...
Arguably,
though, Melbourne Victory have perhaps gone in with a better team this year, better squad anyway, because last year they had them all injured. But still, I agree, Peter. I mean, if Brisbane Roar were playing in a couple of weeks' time, it would be fantastic, wouldn't it, to see them...
That would be the thing to do.
And we know that three of their players will be gone by the time, at least three.
Newcastle Jets played in the ACL coming off, I think, didn't they finish last the year after they won their title?
So yeah, they didn't do well.
They were a shadow of the
But they didn't do that badly in the ACL compared to, you know, perhaps what they could have done. But anyway. So tomorrow night they've got Jeju United, and the thing about Melbourne playing Jeju is Jeju lost their first game. So it's all... it's an important game because if presuming Gambar take 4 points on the road at Tianjin, then Melbourne will be not so badly placed after the... but it's crucial that they win, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's good to have another Australian coach as well in charge of a team. Was that the first grand final with two Australian coaches and probably the best...
Laurie McKenna was probably... I'd count him as Australian when he was central... I mean, he was how many years do you have to be as a foreigner in this country? But anyway...
So say something else about that grand final.
You can if you quit. You've only got 30 seconds, but that's okay.
The game played by and I'll focus on Brisbane Roar, was the almost perfect advertisement for the new football's national curriculum.
Absolutely.
That is proof positive that it can be done here.
We need pace, you need tactical awareness, you need tactical skill acquisition.
Yeah, technical skills.
They didn't start with a red-hot roster. They didn't start with a lot of money, but they did start with the right coach and the right coaching environment.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it. The football's on the up. Brisbane Roar are playing delightful football, and congratulations to them. And congratulations to Nick Compton for getting the quiz question right. And for Peter Fennell for getting off the bench. Welcome. And
Super sub.
If you go to the near post,
get there first.
The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.